Cruising down the street, I wonder where this road would lead. So many possibilities. Care to share what you think? Oh, noodles, what do you see? Backroad Odyssey.
The murder of Jesse James. The room where it happened. I had been wounded 7 times during the war, and once before in the same lung, and I did not believe I was gonna die. Jesse James survives shootouts, bullet wounds, and the ravages of the American Civil War. But his murder and the shadowy series of events leading to a gun aimed at the back of his exposed head at his home in St. Joseph, Missouri. Now that's a story worth telling. I walk past the green shutters and elongated windows of the Jesse James house. Surprisingly, it's got great curb appeal. I won't lie, a young couple could move in tomorrow. If not, for the eerie feeling you get when approaching the entrance. You know instinctually something happened within those walls. Slowly, I grasp the handle and open the time-tested door. Who was Jesse James? He's been called an outlaw, the Robin Hood of the West, a killer, iconic, a fighter for justice, a hypocrite, overly romanticized, a veteran, simply a bad man. Each successive retelling of the story of Jesse James stretches, reshapes, reduces, enhances the man behind the myth. This ambiguity is further accentuated by the fact that Jesse hardly left a single authenticated account of himself. So, we're left to fill in the blanks with perceptions, retellings, and guesses. Whatever your perception, Jesse James was a man with a story. In your hands, my dissatisfied fellow countrymen, and not mine, is the momentous issue of Civil War. Lincoln's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1861. This is the world in which Jesse James was brought up. One of increasing tensions, mistrust, and seclusionism. Born to a Southern pastor, Robert James, and his wife, Zerelda, in September 1847, Jesse quickly developed an attachment to the Southern way of life leading up to the Civil War. As soon as he could, Jesse left the family hemp farm, which was worked by 6 slaves, to follow his brother Frank and fight for the Confederacy in 1864. At 16, young Jesse joined a bloodthirsty guerrilla fighting group led by Bloody Bill Anderson. And perhaps it is during this impressionable time where Jesse James forms his intense worldview. My pistols, however, I always kept on me. In cahoots with Bloody Bill Anderson, Jesse James participated in multiple atrocities during the war, including the Centralia Massacre, in which 22 unarmed Union soldiers were butchered and civilians were left to deal with their mutilated bodies. This collective bloodlust continues until the war ends May 13th, 1865. With the fighting finished, many guerrilla fighters and Confederate veterans returned to civilian life. But Jesse, he felt no peace. He'd been bayoneted, beaten, shot at, and lost what in his mind was a just and a reasonable cause. It wasn't, of course, but for Jesse James, the fire was lit and there was no going back. The wooden floors are old. As I step further into the house, two doorways provide glimpses into two separate rooms. One appears to be a bedroom, and the other is larger, and it contains scattered furniture. This is the room I enter.
At age 34, he'd been an outlaw almost half his life. He moved here with his wife and two small children on Christmas Eve, 1881.
It's more museum than home now, I think to myself, as recordings play on.
On April 3rd, Jesse was in this room.
Various photos line the walls, illustrating events throughout James's life. The alarmingly detailed wallpaper behind each frame provokes a general sense of unease. It happened in this room, I now realize. My eyes gravitate up towards a framed bullet hole embedded in the wall. We are not thieves. We are bold robbers. I'm proud of the name, for Alexander the Great was a bold robber, and Julius Caesar and Napoleon Bonaparte. With the war at an end, Jesse, along with his brother Frank and others, began to rob banks, stage coaches, and trains. It's at this time, the early 1870s, where Jesse began to craft his Robin Hood-esque persona. He presents himself as a hero, only stealing to provide for those under the new repressive Northern Republican-led government.
Jesse James was a lad who killed many a man. He robbed the Glendale train. He stole from the rich and gave to the poor. He had a hand and a heart and a brain.
I took some artistic liberties with the melody, but this was a ballad circulating shortly after Jesse James was murdered. Although, it must be said that there was and is no evidence that he gave any of his ill-obtained gains to the poor, or indeed to anybody but Jesse James himself. Jesse and his gang could rob with relative impunity at this time, because remember, this is shortly after the war in areas sympathetic to the lost Confederate cause, of which he was a part of. Because of this, Jesse began to believe his own invulnerability.
I did not believe I was going to die.
But, as is so often the case with Icarusonian individuals, a life without limits is destined to produce powerful enemies. Sooner or later, you will fall. In a show of zealous confidence, Jesse's gang robs a bank in Northfield, Minnesota. Or, more accurately, tries to. In the shootout, two men die. Others are ran down and captured. Only Jesse and his brother Frank make it out unscathed. The brothers then flee south under false names. Frank, disheartened by their near brush with death, settles into a quiet life. But Jesse seemed unwilling or perhaps unable to accept such a life. Jesse, as we're now seeing, has long seen himself as a heroic Southern outlaw, a force willing to fight against Northern oppressors. And for some time, that persona works. But times change. More than a decade had gone by since the end of the Civil War. Reconstruction had essentially failed, and Confederate sympathizers now held a strong grip over Missouri politics, where Jesse now resided. Those now in power no longer needed or wanted to tolerate Jesse's antics. Stripped of this toleration and support, Jesse was vulnerable. But still, Jesse forges on, choosing to form a new gang, not one of ex-Confederates, those loyal to Jesse, as was the case in his first gang, but a group of loosely aligned associates, in it solely for the money. This move would prove to be a fatal mistake for Jesse James. For inside this new gang, a person waits who, in collaboration with Missouri's new anti-crime governor, Thomas Crittenden, would lead to his death.
Missouri cannot be the home and abiding place of lawlessness of any character.
the inaugural address of Missouri Governor Thomas Crittenden. Where previous governors turned a blind eye to Jesse, Crittenden got straight to work, successfully convincing railroad and express company leaders to sponsor a $10,000 reward for the capture of Jesse James, much greater than the previous $300 bounty. I'll now allow some time for you to guess what happens next. Yes, correct. Two brothers at the fringe of James's gang, Bob and Charlie Ford, smelt opportunity. With no real loyalty towards Jesse and a desire for money, the brothers act. It's January 13th, 1882. The brothers meet in secret with the governor and negotiate a compromise. If the brothers kill Jesse, they will collect the reward, and Crittenden will pardon any crimes committed by the brothers. The deal was made. Now, the only thing left to do was to carry out the murder.
The famous outlaw was responsible for the deaths of at least 16 people.
My gaze is drawn down from the bullet hole as three others enter the room. Up until now, it had seemed relatively spacious. Only now do I realize how tight the room can be with others. A slight feeling of claustrophobia washes over me. The Ford brothers arrive at the house of Jesse James on April 3rd, meeting with Jesse under the guise that they were going to talk about the robbery they were committing the very next day. Accounts differ with what happened when they arrived, but one detail of the moment remains consistent. After a lull in the conversation, silence. In that silence, the brothers must have been contemplating the timing and the approach to the murder. Jesse turns his back on the brothers. The silence deepened. The brothers glance at each other, sweat lining each forehead. In a portrait of anticlimactic nature, Jesse grabs a chair. He steps on it to either dust or straighten the painting on the wall. A bullet is put in the back of the brain of Jesse James. The tombstone of Jesse James reads, Jesse W. James dies April 3rd, 1882. Aged 34 years, 6 months, 28 days. Murdered by a traitor and a coward whose name is not worthy to appear here.
I did not believe I was going to die.
Jesse James survives shootouts, bullet wounds, and the ravages of the American Civil War. But through it all, it seems he behaves as a man who sees death around any corner.
Was going to die.
Who is Jesse James? He's been called an outlaw, the Robin Hood of the West, a killer, iconic, a father, an adamant racist, overly romanticized war veteran. Each successive retelling of the story of Jesse James stretches, reshapes, reduces, enhances the man behind the myth. He seems to be all of these things, and yet none of these things. All these years later, who is Jesse James? You tell me. Thank you, genuinely, for listening to Back Road Odyssey. If you enjoy these stories, if you find value in what we do, you can support the show by rating and subscribing wherever you're listening now. It genuinely helps the show keep going. Be good to each other. Now, where to next?
Back Road Odyssey.